just want to take a second and thank you guys for your support of the music ministry and of the HD music team. Don't they do a wonderful job? Worshiping the Lord. Yes. Amen. God has done some wonderful things in our music ministry the past year and through our church, as you're going to hear throughout the service. And He's going to do some greater things. I believe that with all of my heart. And the music ministry is changing lives. It affects people. And we've got story after story after story that we can share with you. But we do have one on video. And I want you to take a look at this video.
Hello, my name is Ashley Yeager. And I am a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. I know that He loves me. And that's the one thing that I got from all of this when I came into my faith. And there was a moment for me when I just realized I felt alone and I didn't want to feel alone anymore. And so I remember just crying out. It was probably my darkest day, and I just cried out and I said, God, please take this from me. And just I want to know You, and I want to understand You and come to love You. And it was almost as if at that moment, there was just this peace that came over me. I couldn't really explain it. And after that time, I couldn't get enough of just that. I wanted to know and I wanted to understand. And I found myself coming to church more regularly. And there was one Sunday that I was sitting in the back, because rarely would I ever go and sit in the front. I was more invisible still. That time, but I would sit in the back, and my husband was with me on this Sunday, and he saw how emotional I got when the choir was singing this song. They were singing How Great Thou Art, and it was a song that just really spoke to me. And my husband, you know, leaned into me and he said, you should be up there, you know, you should be a part of this. This is something that I know means a lot to you. And it was just the most wonderful thing to hear. And so I quickly went and found out information about how I could join the choir. And ever since, it's brought me a tremendous amount of joy. When I sing, I now sing to an audience of one. I don't worry anymore about what other people might think. I'm just singing to sing His praise and to worship Him. And I'm learning that through this process and on this journey, I do have a voice. I have a voice, and I have a voice that longs to be heard. And in some small way, I'm ministering to people through my voice. And it's just an amazing experience, and I'm so thankful to have this opportunity to share this information with you.
Oh, it is good to see everybody and welcome today. Today's going to be a whole lot different than what we normally do. And it's by design, it's on purpose. And the desire today will be to share with you. You should have received a little book, looks like this. It's called an annual report, but it's not really like an annual report like you would get like in a business or something. But it's a look really at what God's done this past year. So you can take a look through that. But here's my frustration, okay? If you ask me, you know, Pastor, what's your biggest frustration? My biggest frustration being pastor here is that you would not believe the things that God does all around us. Every day, at least every week, but sometimes every day, I hear something else incredible about what God's doing here, God's doing there. And you can ask the staff that. You hear myself say, man, I wish I could get a snapshot of that and share it with everybody. And there's just not enough time in a service to do that. So what we did was we put a lot of things in here, and they have a lot of numbers in here. But here's the key. Here's the key to numbers. Here's the key to today. We decided to put a whole day together to where you get to see stories about the numbers. The stories, what I want to call behind the numbers. For every person, you know, like you just saw with Ashley in the music ministry, she's just one of many in our music ministry that's so diverse. I mean, you talk diverse. Come last night to Bluegrass Night, right? Then you're in here at HD, and then you have the choir and orchestra in the next service. So we have as much opportunity for people to be involved. But that's one person of so many that we could have picked. But that's what we're going to have to do today. And there's even going to be some areas we don't even have a chance to share with you what God, stories of God at work there. So again, it's still frustrating, isn't it? Hence my frustration. And so, because I want you to know. The reason I want you to know is because I want you to be encouraged that God is at work all around you. And sometimes we get so busy doing what we've done. We have some of us who have been in the church here, God's church here for lots of years. You begin to forget as you're busy and doing everything, just what's happening all around you. And so we're going to share with you a little bit of that today. But you can take a look at that. But that's the main thing we want you to see. The main purpose that we're here today is that we want you to see that behind every number that you see in here, it represents a person. It represents a story. And we want to share just a few of those stories with you. But I know, and I know the people who are sharing these stories want you to know, that there are others too, many, many, many others. And these are just pictures of who God is and what he's doing. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, this will be the only verse that I'll share with you today. The rest is just going to be really bragging on what the Lord is doing. Because remember that, as I've said to you many times, if anything good's going to happen, it's going to be because God has done it. So I know that myself, all these that are going to be sharing today, that's what they would say. But every once in a while, you have to pause and look and give God the glory for what he's doing all around you. But there's this verse in Colossians chapter 1, 27. You can go ahead and put it up there. It, to me, is kind of gives you the purpose and the point. Several verses give you the purpose and the point. This one really does. Let's take a look at it. It says this, to them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. So there's a mystery. And to make known among the Gentiles, unless you're Jewish today, that would be you, okay? At that time, it was a little different. But to make known to everybody this mystery. What is this mystery? And it tells you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that becomes the picture, Christ in you. Emmanuel, we talk about, which is hard to believe, Christmas time here in a few months. You'll hear that, Emmanuel, God with us. And then when Christ was with us, then he died, cross, was resurrected, and then it's him in us. And so then the power that comes to the church is not so much of what happens with staff people. It's Christ working in people's lives who have a desire to do different things and see what God's going to do around them. It just, to me, it's an amazing thing to be a part of. It's an exciting thing to be a part of. And that's the hope. When we look, that's the hope for today, is to let you see that. When you look through the little book there, you're going to see that basically we have a point for existing. Okay, we have a purpose statement, a mission statement, whatever you want to call it. Everybody has one today. But here's the key to any statement, because when it all comes down to it, the scriptures are very clear who we're supposed to be. And it's one of my key words that I love to share is to make disciples. That's who we're supposed to be. Now that's pretty broad. But it is important because that's what Jesus said it was. You know, go therefore, make disciples of all nations. So that is the point, that's the purpose. We call it, remember this. Okay, let me tell you this too. Mission statements. Don't get so hung up on them because they're just words. Unless your mission statement reflects what you're actually doing. My goodness, churches today have spent time and time and time and time and time coming up with these clever mission statements. And then you take a look at what they're doing and you're going, hey, that's a cool mission statement. It's not what you're doing, but it's a cool mission statement. See, the key is not in words. The key is in what do you do? Okay? And that's what we want you to see today. That's what's so exciting today. So we've come up with this C4 just to help you remember it. But it's not hard to understand once you begin to see it. What is C1 that we talk about is that we need to first and foremost be a place that people can connect with God. That is the heartbeat. Be a place where people can connect with God. You're going to see so many. The reason I'm going over these four C's, here's what I'd like you to do. With all the videos you're going to see, including Ashley's just a few minutes ago, I want you to hear them and what they're saying. And everything they say is going to fit in among these four things because it's who we are. It's what we do. Therefore, you're going to hear connecting with God. That is, we want people to know who Christ is. We want to give you the opportunity to come to know Him. You're going to see that here in the videos in a minute. When you think about C1, you think about people not only connecting with God as far as coming to know Him for the first time, but growing in their faith. That's a lot of what I do. I want people to understand God's Word because that's the way we grow. And so C1 is wrapped up in doing that. We need to be a place where people can connect with God. Number two, we need to be a place where people can connect with others. I cannot tell you, listen to me, in such an isolated society that we're becoming, where people only communicate electronically, I'm telling you, great strength is going to come from relationships with each other. Our world out there can't get along. But if we have a place that God's at work and people are truly in love with each other and connected with each other, I can't tell you how that's going to impact. So, again, C2 is about connecting people together. C3 is interesting. It's serve or to give. I need to get away from being shy from the word give because give is who we are. Give, I'm not talking about just finances, although we are talking about that, but I'm talking the people that are up here that do music, the people that are, that everything that goes on in this church is done because people have given of their time. Right? Everything that happens is a result of C3. I like to say that C3 is what makes C1, 2, and 4 go. Does that make sense? I mean, C3 is people coming forward and saying, I want to invest and I want to be a part of this story. I want to be a part of what God is doing. Right? So that's that one. That's the whole mentality of giving, of serving. Those that give and use different abilities that you have to do the others. It's an amazing thing. Okay? And then you go down to C4, which is the outreach part, which is connecting with the world. So here's what I want you to do. Would you take a look at these four things, okay, these C4, and as you hear these different videos, you're going to see it just naturally come out. Now, let me tell you another frustration I have. There's no way. You're going to say, well, what about this area in our church? I know you're going to say that because we said it putting this together. Yeah, but what about? But what about? There's no way we have time. That's one of the things that can be a struggle. So because there's so much going on and so many of you have got a heartbeat and are giving of your time and other things to different, so many different, there's no way to cover it all. So today is not even, it's not only not going to cover all the numbers, but it's not going to even cover all the wide spectrum of the things that go on. But so the thought here today is just to get a glimpse of who God is and what He's doing. I'm telling you what. I hope you get half as excited as me and the rest of the staff got as we were putting this together. Because guys, when you begin to take a look at some of the things that just this past year, I'm not talking about the last 20 years or the last 10 years, I'm talking about just this past year. When you begin to really take a look, you know, because we're not overly focused on all these things. But to take a Sunday where we just look, it's pretty remarkable. I think you're going to be blessed and excited today, and I'm glad that you're here. So let me go ahead and have you and have JJ come on up, and we're just going to let you just down through the mysteries, let you see different. JJ kind of oversees what we call a generations team, which is kind of birthed through college, and he oversees an area, and so they're going to share with you. We're going to just have different ones share with you. It's basically just celebratory about what God's doing around us. All right, Jay?
Thank you, Pastor. What an exciting day to come together and celebrate what the Lord's done over this past year. My name is JJ. I represent our Generations team. And on behalf of our team, let me just say to you, thank you as we express our gratitude to you today for your giving, for your praying. Our Gen team represents many different age groups as we start in our preschool and children's ministry with Pastor Colin, our middle school ministry with Pastor Dan, obviously myself in our high school ministry. And then Pastor Rob, as he oversees our college and also our rec outreach ministry. One of the toughest things for us to do today was to just pick out one name from all of the numbers to share their Jesus story with you today. But eventually, we had to pick one. And that's what I want you to hear today. Every number in your annual report, it represents a name. And so I want you to watch the story of Molly and how this church has helped her in her walk with Jesus.
Hi, I'm Molly, and I really want to share the story with you guys. My family moved here about 3 years ago when I was going to be a freshman in high school. And we moved here kind of abruptly, so I didn't have a church family to be a part of. And I got into the public school system, and I didn't have a leader there, a Christian leader. So I was kind of getting drained and away from my walk with God. Then we found out about Indian Rocks Church, and we started coming here, and I loved hearing the Pastor Jeff preach during the day, during the morning, and so I heard that there was youth group on Wednesday nights, and so I dragged my brother there, and people were really welcoming, but you don't, like, make friends right away, and then we started coming on Sundays, because I really wanted to just hear more of JJ's preaching, and then I heard about a student life event that was happening, and again, I dragged my brother there, because I always wanted someone with me to go with. And I loved what they were preaching about, and I wanted to learn more and go farther in my walk with God. So I started being a part of, like, everything the church had to offer us with different events that were going on or things you'd be a part of. And now I feel like I'm so much stronger in my faith from the different preachers I'm hearing and the different kids I get to, like, feed off of with their different walks and their different, like, beliefs about what's going on. And so now I'm, like, helping lead worship, and then I'm helping with the kids ministry, and I'm getting really involved with the church just so I can help other kids understand God and grow in their faith.
Our Gen team has a philosophy that not only are we committed to reaching the children and students of this community, but we also want to come alongside our parents and partner with them. We desire to be a parent-friendly ministry. And so if you'll watch the screen, this is one of our moms who's also very involved in serving alongside us in our Gen team ministry. This is Erin.
Hi, my name's Erin Lemler, and my husband Darren and I have 5 children. We have been members of Indian Rocks since we got married. We have 1 child in the preschool ministry, 2 in the elementary ministry, and 2 in the middle school ministry. Our kids have been in the nursery since they were about 8 weeks old. Darren and I have served in the nursery. We've served in children's ministry in Awanas, and now we currently serve in the middle school ministry. And I just wanted to tell you a little bit about my kids' experiences in the ministries. My son is 13 years old, almost 14, and just recently he was away on vacation for a long vacation with my brother and his family, and he came back and said, "I'm going to church," as tired as he was. He could barely move, and we have found that to be true with all of our kids. Now, don't get me wrong, we have had many of 2-year-old tantrums going into the nursery, because that's what 2-year-olds do. But our kids love the ministry. They love being here. We have watched things grow. The preschool ministry, we've watched the elementary ministry, and now the middle school ministry, which is thriving. And our kids who came home from camp had nothing but wonderful things to say about it. And I just want to encourage everyone to get involved with our kids. Our kids need people pouring into their lives and giving their testimonies and showing how they made mistakes in life and how God brought them through it. Darren and I are thrilled with the ministries. We love being a part of it, and we are so glad that our kids are a part of these ministries, and we're watching them grow to love the Lord, because that's what they're teaching them, is to have a relationship with Christ at an early age, not to wait until they're adults, but to grow now.
So not only do we want to reach students, not only do we want to partner with parents, but it is our desire as a Gen team to reach our community. And I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but on almost every public school campus within a pretty close radius to our church, we have students from this church that are the leaders in the Christian clubs. We have teachers that are sitting out here right now that are the sponsors of those Christian club ministries. And then in our private and Christian schools that are in this community, many of the spiritual leaders, role models on those campuses are students that are plugged into this church, and we love those partnerships. Matter of fact, this week at Indian Rocks Christian School, Spiritual Emphasis Week, we had 3 days basically of revival. We had about 35, 40 students that prayed to invite Jesus Christ into their life. And so that is our desire. We want to see people come to know Christ. How does that happen? It happens by you faithfully giving, by you praying, and also by you coming alongside and serving with us. I want you to not only watch, but also really listen to the joy as Sam shares her story of serving here in our church.
Hi, my name is Samantha Witzy, and I am the worship leader for the kids ministry. I started coming to this church when I was in like fourth grade, and even though I only had 2 years in the kids ministry, I'll never forget like the time that I had there, and the main worship leader at the time, her name was Danielle, and I used to look up to her. Like, she was the main role model in my life at that time. And so as I was growing up, I was looking for a place to serve in the church. Because when you go to church, yes, you're there to gain knowledge and become closer to the Lord, but you're also there to use your talents for God. And so one day, Pastor Colin asked if I wanted to do a small little acting job on stage for the kids ministry. And it was just a small little thing with a few lines, but I went up there and I did my piece, and afterwards I really enjoyed it, and they asked me to come back the next month and become host for the month. So I was up on stage and I had a script, and you know, I was teaching the kids, you know, about God and stuff like that, and it was so awesome. And then the last week of that month was they had a part in the script where I had to do a worship song. And that was when I realized that I'd found my calling, because I did the actions and the kids were following along, and I thought it was so amazing. So from that point on, I became the main worship leader and doing like small little acting jobs on stage at the same time. But I love doing the actions in the back, coming up with all the moves for the songs, and we get to pick out the songs. So we've got incorporated a lot of modern music, such as Alive and Wake and stuff like that. So those are my favorite songs, because the kids, they all jump around, they have such a good time. And the most rewarding part is hearing the kids sing the songs back to you, and it's just a whole nother level of worship. And I've never felt closer to the Lord than when I'm up on stage and it's like it's just me and him, and I'm doing the actions and I'm singing to God, and then I hear the little voices and the kindergartners are doing the actions, and it's such a beautiful, rewarding experience for me. There's a place for everybody to serve in the church. You got to use your talents. You know, it doesn't matter how old or how young you are. You know, I was sophomore year when I started volunteering in the church, and I've never been happier. I found my calling, and it's so, so rewarding for me.
Pastor of small groups here, and I am so excited about what God is doing in our small groups ministry. Whether it's our connection groups or Bible studies, all of our support groups or discipleship groups, God is using these gatherings for people to do community together and grow in their faith together, and it's an amazing thing. There's a couple of new things going on here at church that you're probably aware of. Right out in the lobby, there's a new connection center out there that's designated just to help people get together, to get plugged in here at church. It is a large church, and so we need to get small, and we do that in our groups. And so if you're not connected, make sure you visit the Connection Center. A great time to do this is starting next week. We have a new sermon series that Pastor Jeff is going to be going through called God's at War. And I think he's going to talk a little bit more about that later. And as he's going through his sermon series, that's going to be powerful. All of our connection groups are going to go through the same series in an accompanying way in our connection groups. So we have 40 groups that are going to be following along with the series and 20 brand new groups that are going to be meeting at all different times. Saturday nights, Wednesday nights, Thursday nights, Sunday mornings. So these six-week groups are going to get together. And if you're not connected in a small group, this is a great time to get plugged in. You can do that online. You could do it at the Connection Center or even in your heartbeat today. There's a little tear-out sheet. You can fill it out and drop it in the plate. So I tell you, great things are going on in all of our small groups. I hear wonderful stories every week about how lives have been changed. We really appreciate everybody investing in this ministry, everybody who prays for us, everybody who helps out. There's no way that we could have all these small groups without all of our volunteers that serve so faithfully. So I really, really appreciate it. But again, every week we hear about somebody whose lives have been changed. And we're going to watch a video of Matt and Sarah Williams, whose lives were changed through the small group ministry. And now they're actually connection group leaders. So here's her story.
Hi, I'm Matt Williams, and this is my wife, Sarah Williams. And we are members here at First Baptist Church in Indian Rocks. We've been a part of small groups and the church for some time. And in fact, I actually first gave my life to the Lord in March of 2008. I'd always been to the church, but I remember the first encouragement that I got when I actually gave my life to the Lord was they said, you need to get involved in a small group, basically to be around some people that are different than the people that you're walking with now, to encourage you in this new walk of life. And so I got involved, and that was one of my first stages of life here at Indian Rocks. And Sarah has a similar story.
Well, I wasn't raised in the church and just kind of went through life with my peers around me in society and just kind of like the best of the worst is how I felt. And then I started coming to church here, and multiple different paths and decisions led me to give my life to the Lord, and my life changed tremendously, and I had a hope and a future, and I got connected with Smiley's, with the college ministry, and that was really pivotal in my growth with the Lord, and soon became on the leadership there and led the women step up, and Matt was on the leadership as well and led the men step up. So,
you know, and from that leadership, you know, we kind of stages of life changed. You know, we went from the college stage to then got married, which was a great stage. And, you know, then we kind of transitioned from the college scene into a young married couples class where there were other couples there that were recently married. And through that, we even were asked to lead the class. And so that's been a great transition as well. Got to meet some really great friends. And just so happened that once we got pregnant, so did everyone else. So it was great to get to experience life with other people. And then also just finding how the Bible really applied to our stage of life at that time and seeing how God's plan for us and with the others there in that class. I just really meshed well together, and it was encouraging, and I would encourage you to do the same.
Be careful which group you pick, right? Okay, some of you want to go to that group, some of you want to stay far away from that group. Okay, just saying, okay? I'm Pastor Tim Jennings, and I get a chance to oversee the Next Steps part of it. And part of the Next Steps is our baptisms. And, you know, we got to see 154 folks get baptized this past year. And even here on campus, you're going to see a baptism here in just a second. But we have three areas. We have a baptism here. We also have one in the old worship center, which is the fellowship center. We still use that for baptism. And I don't want to bust anybody's bubble, but I know when you walk down the connector and you see outside there, it looks like a hot tub in that for our pastors or something, but that's not it, okay? That is actually a baptismal pool that's out there, and we use that a lot, like on Wednesday nights and different times. So three different areas, and this morning we have a very special couple baptisms, and Pastor Rob's over here, and he's going to baptize a couple this morning. So let's focus all our attention over here as he baptizes.
Good morning. I'm here with Alexis Bestweatherick, my little daughter. And I also am here with her best friend, Journey Williams, and they're both going to get baptized. Are you excited? Yeah, this is awesome. All right. Oh, she's just joining us. Sweet. Make yourself at home. All right, Alexis, I got a question for you. You ready? Not yet. We got a question first. Okay, is there a time in your life where you asked Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And my question for you is, do you know that baptism is how you show everybody out here what Jesus did inside here?
Yeah.
You do? All right. Well, then you ready to do this?
Yeah.
All right. Well, plug your nose. I'm going to grab your wrist. All right. Well, Alexis, I baptize you in the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Spirit. Congratulations. High five. Awesome. Stay right here. Miss Journey's going to get baptized now. Well, say hello.
Hello.
Journey, now, do you have a time in your life where you asked Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins?
Yes.
You have. Now, do you know that when you are getting baptized, you're showing everybody out there that Jesus is right in here? Yes. Yep, there she is. Welcome, Journey. All right. Go ahead and plug your nose. And then I'll grab your wrist. You grab my wrist. All right. Well, Journey Williams, I baptize you in the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Spirit. All right. Here, you guys hug each other and stay warm. I'm going to pray for you right here before we transition. Lord Jesus, we thank you for these sweet friends. We thank you that they have been on this journey through the children's ministry here in our homes and our hearts. And Lord, you've had them in your heart the whole time. And we thank you that they've come to understand that and know that and put their faith and trust in you. And that today they follow in baptism to show everyone the work that you've done in their hearts. This is such a delight. We love you and we praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Rob. You know, I told you about the three venues here, and most of you know about we do three beach baptisms a year, and you get to see a sunset that God paints, and as we're baptizing, it's an amazing thing. I told you 154 baptized this year, but another 50 have already been added. 2 weeks ago, we baptized 50 at the beach, which was amazing, and we're going to take a look at that now. But I want to say a special thanks to you guys, because as a church, you show up. And there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of you at the beach there with your blankets and food and every kind of thing. And you're not being baptized, but you're supporting the folks in our church who are taking a stand and saying, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And that's so thank you guys for that. Take a look now at our last beach baptism and hear some of their stories.
Gaddis, and I got baptized today because Jesus is my Savior. I wanted everyone to know it.
Philip Snyder, and I got baptized today to make a public statement to show that the Lord is my Savior, and I accepted Him in my life, and He died for me on the cross and raised from the dead.
I'm Erin, and I got baptized today because I believe Jesus is my Savior, and I will always be that way, and I'm changed from the baptism, and I'll never be the same, and I love God.
My name's Tom Livingston, and I got baptized today because I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
My name is Megan, and I got baptized to show other people what Christ has done in my life.
I'm Jessica Collins, and I got baptized because I want to live for the Lord, and it's a way of showing that I love Him.
My name is Amy.
My name is Doug.
And we got baptized today because we wanted to make a choice, show our children that we belong to Him, and that we're going to lead our life and our children's lives according to His word.
I actually didn't get baptized today, but I helped baptize, which was awesome because just seeing others make that step, that decision to follow Christ and to be a part of that just blew me away. So it's awesome what God's doing in our church, and stoked to see what He's going to do through these people. Especially, we baptized two people that gave their life to Christ this very morning at Starting Point, and just seeing them right away start out their journey with the Lord was pretty powerful for me.
Isn't that exciting just to see what the Lord's doing in all these different ministries and all these different lives? And guys, when you give, you take part in all of it. If you guys would open up this annual report, it's the second to last page. It's our finances. And this whole thing started really because we wanted to make sure that we shared what's happened in our financial year throughout the whole year as well. And so the one thing I do want to say, and the one point I do want to get across to everybody, is that this has been the strongest financial successful year that Indian Rocks has ever seen. So let me give you some examples, and it's in your book right there. It's going to be up on the screen as well. Indian Rocks Christian School last year, enrollment was up 10%. It enabled them to finish the year with over $500,000 to the good. That's never happened before. There's so many things that can be done with that, improving the property, technology, staffing, all kinds of things that the school is going to be able to do with that. Indian Rocks Assisted Living Facility kept over a 90% occupancy rate throughout the whole year, and they ended with almost $600,000 to the good. Again, that's never happened before. And guys, you need to know that some of those funds are being transferred over to the church to help us pay down our debt, to do projects around the campus and different things like that. So that's just an exciting part. The Indian Rocks Thrift Center finished the year with almost $700,000 in sales. This is stuff that you guys have given, and in turn they sell it, and it's furniture, it's clothes, it's different things like that. But what they do with those funds is almost $275,000 was given to mission projects, to some of our Faith Promise missionaries, but also to help 290 people go on a short-term mission trip. Again, in missions, if a couple pages back, if you look at that through our through Southern Baptist giving to the Southern to the cooperative program, to Faith Promise missionaries and our thrift store. You guys, this church has given over $1 million, spent over $1 million in missions. That's an exciting thing. And then when you look at our church, offerings were a little over $5.7 million last year. Guys, that's up 3.4% from last year. And that's an exciting, just an exciting thing, because when the church is healthy, when the church stays strong and healthy in those areas, it enables missions, it enables Generations Team, the Christian School, the Heron House, connection groups. I mean, everything you're seeing, it enables that to be that much stronger and that much healthier when we do give. And this book is just filled with examples of that. And it is important for us as believers to give. And I'd like to just share one video with you. Again, this is one person, and it's Christian, and why him and his wife give.
My wife and I have been attending Indian Rocks for 6 years now. And through that time, we've enjoyed learning about the many ministries and opportunities that Indian Rocks provides, not only to the community around us, but also throughout the world. That's what makes it so exciting when we have the opportunity to give to the church. We can see where those resources go and the impacts that they have. And we know, as believers, that we're called to give. And as we learn more and more about all the ways that our church impacts the world for Christ, it becomes that much more of a joy to be a member of this church family. I encourage each and every one of you to take a step back and look at what our church does and supports beyond the walls. And that's why we give.
And guys, when you hear this great report, my fear is some of you might go, well, why does the church need me to give? And in reality, I hope that's not you, but in reality, the church doesn't need you to give. I believe God's going to give everything we need to make this happen. But as believers in Christ, God does call us to be generous and cheerful givers to his ministry. The Bible teaches us to tithe our first fruits, and that's giving 10%, living on 90% as a way of life. And so many people here do that, and I'm so thankful for that. But if you look at there's also a pie chart we're going to put up there. And this is just a breakdown. It's in your book there. One thing that stuck out to me when I was looking at these numbers was that 15% of our families, 15% of our givers, give 64% of what's given to the life of the church. I'd love for that number to go up. But let me tell you, I'm so thankful for each of you, everybody that has given anything to support the ministry here at Indian Rocks. Because of you, all these things that you're hearing today have happened, and we're so thankful for you. Indian Rocks is just a great church to be a part of. Let me pray for our offering. Lord, we come before you, Father, and just want to thank you for what you do in each one of our lives. Bless this offering, Lord. Thank you for each person who has sacrificially given to make all the things that happen here happen, Father. We lift all this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And during the offering, if you want to just direct your attention to the video screens for an amazing video of seeing C4 played out.
Hi, my name is Jesse, and this is my dad. Me and my family had been praying for my dad for years, and I remember one day my mom came up to me and said that my dad was getting pretty sick, and I remember it scared me, so I started to go to the park, and I remember crying out to the Lord and just asking God, and telling God that you can't take him until my dad's saved. So my mom always instilled in us kids that scripture never comes back void, and so I felt the Lord just tell me to write my dad a letter. So I began writing my dad a letter that I would leave under his keys because he'd go to work early in the morning. And so when he got up for work, he could see the letter and know that it was a love letter for me. It's the only way that I knew he'd read it. So I would kind of sneak scripture in there so I could kind of put to act just to see how scripture would work and give God that opportunity. So I wrote a letter, and I remember being very nervous about it. And the next day, my dad came home and didn't say anything about it, and I didn't know what that meant, and I started praying to the Lord in frustration and just said, okay, what was that all about? And God just said, write him another. So two letters turned to three letters, and three letters turned to four letters, and it wasn't about until letter 365 that my dad finally came to know the Lord as his Savior.
Yes, it was probably 2010 that my life was pretty much falling apart. My health was going down. I was an angry man. I hated people. I hated the world. I was very mean and ugly to others, and just didn't really love life. Then all of a sudden, something started coming over me, and for some reason, I started coming to church every Sunday, and I kept getting up. I know Terry just kept, my wife kept saying, you know, in her head that wonder what's happening, because every Sunday I'd get up and she wouldn't say a word, and I'd just come in with her. And around the time, as January 2011, Pastor Jeff was doing a series on 1 month to live, and he started telling a story about two types of people that you end up being, and one of them was a mean, ugly person, and he was talking to me, and God was talking to me, and all the letters Jesse wrote were talking to me, these scriptures, that was the way I was reading the Bible, and God was talking to me. And a week later, I lay down on face down on the floor in my bedroom and gave my life to Christ. And ever since then, he just took over and just has just been such a joy in my heart, and just has changed my life so much. The anger was removed. I used to drink. The drinking was removed. All these bad habits just disappeared, and God gave me just a new life, and he led me down a path of just love. And I never knew love. I never knew how to love my children. I never knew how to love my wife. And just this love came over me that I didn't understand. And I started getting involved in church. I went to a connection group, and we found a connection group that they just preached the Word of God, and it was a strong teaching, and I started to know the Lord even more. And then God started talking to me about just traveling, and I went on my first mission trip 6 months after I was saved. I went to Jamaica. Now I've been on 13 mission trips over the last 4 years, and I've been all over the world, and just loving on missionaries and them loving on us. And I have been just so blessed by God. God has just been loving, and just loving as God that I could ever be, that could teach me and accept me who I was and who I am today. It's just a phenomenal transition in my life, and I just thank God every day for what he does in my life. I'd like to share one story that God has taken me on. If you were to board a plane and travel for 30 hours, you could arrive in Bangladesh, and you get to Bangladesh and get through all the customs, and you get in a van, and you will travel for 3 hours until you run into the river. And once you get to the river, you have to wait and eventually cross the river on a ferry, which takes over an hour. Then you have to travel through the countryside another 2 hours just to get down on this small road, and you walk between these tin shed hut stores that they got on the side of the road, through down a 5-foot path for 50 yards just to go through a double gate through into a compound, where you go through and walk up into a common area. And at that common area, you look up and you see this plaque that says donated by First Baptist Church of Indian Rocks. And that's just a blessing of the body of Christ that I'm a part of and able to be a part of. I just had heart surgery 5 weeks ago, and I was sitting home watching Pastor Jeff on the screen, and I watched him 2 Sundays, and my wife made me stay home because she says, "You're not well enough yet," because I wanted to come in because it wasn't the same. I love Pastor Jeff's teaching, but it wasn't the same to be with the body of Christ and be here and be with that body. And it's just different than sitting and just listening to the words. It's a part of my life now that I can't turn off now.
You know, that's what today has been. It's, you see how frustrating it is, because our story is one of many stories. But when you look at a number, you know, you can just kind of glance past the number. But the thought of today is, remember that behind every number is a story. It's a person. It's somebody that God is working in their life. And as you were listening to Al's story, of which so many of you, I could pull you up here, and we may have to go, you know, a few years back as we look different things. But it's the reason we exist. If you want to know the reason we exist, it's for what we just saw. Therefore, somebody has the opportunity to come, connect with God, which he had that opportunity through. And I love the part with Jesse and how all that happened. I mean, because God uses all kinds of different things. But he had an opportunity to come, connect with God. And then he had the opportunity to connect with a family, with a group of believers who could encourage him. You know, I've heard sometimes people say, well, you know, Jeff, I've been a believer so long that you know, I really don't need, you know, a connection group. I'm like, okay, you're missing the point. What about owls who come to the group that need you, right? That need your help, that need your encouragement, need your mentor. Again, it's not about what we need. Once we get to a certain point, it's about, hey, God, how can you use me? And so then he was able to get in a connection group and able to start serving and giving to the church and individual missions. I mean, therefore, he had the opportunity to do these things because that's what's going on. And that's who we are. It's what we're about, to give people that opportunity that God's working in their life to be around a group together that we can do those things. So as you walk down through him, that story was one that was a picture of so many. And to me, that is the incredible part. But it also was frustrating to me that you know, I can't. We just can't be here 10 hours. And let me show you about 30 of these. You know what I'm saying? And then you can just start to begin to see what I see every day. And we try these little segments, you know, on Sunday. That's why we give, to kind of share with you some things. But they. Sometimes I just, you know, when we pray, say, God, we just want you to work. Well, I want you to hear this. He is working. I mean, it's just that sometimes we get so busy going so fast. I know I do. I don't know if I'm talking to you as much as to me, that you say, oh, yeah, that's great. Oh, yeah, that's great. And you just keep blowing by to where you stop long enough to see what the title today is. Hashtag God at work, right? God at work. Which is the mystery which we looked at in Colossians, Christ in you. Christ in you. That is the difference. That is the exciting part. So again, to me, as we walk down through those things, we see the things that are going on around us. You know, like, again, to see one, the connecting with God. When you saw the baptisms up there, okay? Now, that was just one beach baptism. And we showed you 4 or 5, of which there were 50 that day. So there were 45 other stories that we didn't have the time to share with you, along with all the other ones that before. You begin to see what I'm saying. As you look at those, that's a person, right? That's a person, and that's a life, and that's a story. And everybody is in a different. Everybody's in a different stage. You know, and then go back to the C1 worship. We see Ashley's story that was at the very beginning that David shared about. And we look at everybody who leads and the difference, not just that they come in and we're thankful that they serve. And that's great. But the difference it makes in their lives, having the opportunity to praise God through music and other things. And so when you look at them to connect with God, then you see the small groups with Matt and Sarah. And when I think about that, and it's just really just one picture of so many, and being a part of a family, I can't tell you how important it is. Being part of worse friendships. Again, I don't want to kick on it too much, but with the electronic age, we're even losing friendships, not among just believers, but among the world. The way, if you can't relate electronically, you can't relate. And that type of relating is just not who God's called us to be. And so, you know, I'm so glad Al said that in his video. You know, he could sit home and watch it on TV. He said it wasn't the same. And he's right. He's right. And like next week, you know, I'm starting a series, God's at War. If you want to know what that is that you've got all kinds of gods out there that are competing for your affections, right? Competing for your time and your, I mean, they're, and that's what we're going to be talking about. And we're doing the new small groups that are just be for those 6 weeks. I mean, all of our small groups are going to do it, but they'll be just for those 6 weeks. And if you'd like to sign up and be a part of a small group, it's only going to be 6 weeks, just during this time, and it's going to go along with what I'm going to be doing. You can check. We have a new connection center out there. It's pretty cool. It's still on work, but if you'd like to stop by there, you can more likely. I can't tell you how important it is to get plugged in, because it's all part together, right? And then the third one with the giving, with the serving. I'm going to stop saying serving, because serving is giving. It's using your time. It's giving your time. It's giving. You know, I think about all that goes on here. And we tried to share with you some of those. Let people share with you in all different places of where they're serving, what they're doing. And it's to me, it's exciting when God brings those. But in a day of consumerism, God has called us to give and to find a place where we fit in and to serve and to give. I don't want to back up with that either financially, because C3, remember, C3 makes the other three work. If you don't have people giving of their time, their resources, then you begin to back up and being able what you're able to do. But the more that C3 happens, the more the other three flourish. Isn't that amazing? You know, that's why I want to tell. See, this is my frustration. Wake up. I want you to hear my frustrations. This is good for me, all right? I mean, I'm sitting in staff meeting, and Tim looks over at me and says, you know, he says, this has been the strongest financial year that we've had since I've been here. And I'm like, okay, we got to tell everybody that, or you'll never know. You just look at a bunch of numbers on a page, and you go, okay, that's great. Okay, that's great. But that's the reason for this Sunday. That was the reason for this day. We just wanted to take a time to let you see just what's happening around us. And then the missions part. Boy, you're talking about one frustrated guy. That's DJ along with me. I mean, what he has shared with you is not even close to all the things what Al was talking to you about. And it's the truth. That Bangladesh that you're talking about, that just blessed my heart when I first saw that sign with that old sign. You can tell it'd been there a while. And that, you know, that building was for an orphanage. And then also a ministry center, of which now we're helping them build. DJ alluded to it. Another building for those other trafficked kids, right? And we've already sent that over to help them, because we found that in missions, we support those who are doing the work and are doing it well. That's what this group is, the one that Al went to, and that others from our church have been going to for years. As you saw, that was not a new sign. I'm telling you, it's like, we got to be done. But it's like I was in Montana last week. We've had a partnership with that church for 30 years. It predated me by a long shot. But I stood up at that church. I did their staff retreat just to encourage them. And I stood up in the service. It was like I was a celebrity. And it was uncomfortable, to be honest with you. Because we have sent so many teams and so many resources there to get that church going for the past 30 years. The pastor gets up of that church in Montana and says, well, all of you know the difference that Indian Rocks has made in our church. And so I'm going to have Pastor Jeff stand down here. And I had a line of people telling me, oh, well, so-and-so came with their team and encouraged us and showed us how to do this. And the so-and-so team came and we started a church, you know, 40 miles down the road, you know, in Laurel. And they went on and on and on and on. Interesting. Thailand. I've been to Thailand. We walked out of Thailand. There is a school in Thailand of 1,200 kids, Christian school, in a country that's 85% Buddhist. There's a Christian school there. And I went out there one time, and Chan Simone was showing me around, and he said, oh, by the way, Indian Rock, our very first building for our school, he said, that one right there, that's the one that Indian Rocks helped us build. And so, again, on and on and on and on it goes. We could continue to talk about Cuba, Morocco, and that's just the ones that I know about. And so I just want you to see, this is not a brag session. If you know us, we don't ever do it. And I think that was part of the frustration. We don't ever do these things because for our desire, for Allison, for every person who's been up on our video, this is not a brag thing other than God at work, right? Other than God at work in us and around us, and thankfulness to Him for what He's done. So as I'm done, so where do we go from here? Isn't that interesting? This is just an annual report, you know. We're not talking about a 20-year report. This is just an annual report to take a look at what the Lord's done. And here's my encouragement to you. Okay, where do we go from here? You can say, Jeff, this is my first Sunday. Well, Where do we go from here? Let me tell you what. I would just encourage you to be part of the story. Right? Be part of the story that God's writing here. It's not about me. It's not about you individually. But it's a big story. Because all these stories that you've heard among with thousands of others are all being written into one big story. Because this is his. This church is his. The church is people. So it is his. And so I would just encourage you to be a part of the story. And what? And if there's never been a time in your life you put your faith and trust in Christ, all right? Or you know, as we talk about C1, then there will always be an opportunity for somebody up here afterwards. Love to talk to you about what that means. If you haven't gotten, if you're learning to know and grow in your faith, that's all but C1, C2. If you haven't gotten connected yet, there's opportunities here for you to do that. Serving, I'm here to tell you, in a self-absorbed society that we live in, it will do your heart well to start giving away. Serving and giving, because you'll be amazed at the difference. Not only it makes in other people's life, but did you hear everybody up here? The difference it's making in them. And then four, our mission as a church is to let other people know about it. So, again, be part of the story. It's an exciting thing to think about. I've got to stop. I've got to stop, and I promise I am. So let me have you go stand. That way I know I'll be done. All right? But I do. I get excited about those things. But to me, if you've heard today, now that you'll look at this little booklet in a different way, and then every number that you see, because time fails me to tell you about the deacons, our women's ministry. That's what my wife's involved with, the incredible things that are going on in there. CR. I mean, ROM. I mean, I could go, I mean, it just goes on. That's what I'm saying. Somebody's going to come up to me and say, well, Jeff, why didn't you, Pastor, why didn't you mention? That's the frustration. I just can't tell you that everything you see in here, every number you see in here has a story behind it.